Well, hey, welcome to Crossroads, everybody. My name is Kyle, if we haven't met before. Pumped that you're with us. You maybe have just come back to church from the summer. Maybe you're not new, just coming back to church, starting rhythms again. Maybe you're at one of our college campuses. What's up, Oxford, Uptown? And you're just coming back to school. Hey, by the way, you might not know this, that we launched a new community just last weekend on the college campus of the University of Kentucky. What's up, Big Blue? Pumped that you're with us. It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, we're starting this series on progress in technology today. And a lot of times when we do series or messages, like, we like to be cute about it, you know, like save the punchline and like throw you off a little bit. I'm just going to give you the punchline early today. From the very beginning, here is the punchline in this series. You need to know that at Crossroads, we believe that God is wildly pro your progress. That maybe you walked in here feeling stuck somewhere in your life. Our belief is that God wants you to make progress and to get to better and better and better places in your life. And we believe that technology is a gift from God. We believe that God is pro our advancement as a human species, making new tools, inventing new stuff. We believe that technology has amazing potential to help you and I connect more to each other and more to God. That's the punchline. And in this series, we'll be unpacking just how to do that. Now, one of the things I love most about the Crossroads community is that we are not status quo obsessed. You can't accuse us of that. We are not status quo obsessed. We are progress obsessed. In fact, we get more excited about somebody who goes from a 1 to the 2 on the spiritual scale. I mean, there's not one, but if there was, like a 1 to a 2, than somebody who just stays a 7. We get more excited about progress because God has hardwired the world for progress. You see these leaves behind me here? You know, if you went outside this summer at all, you saw this universal truth at play in nature, which is healthy things, things that are making progress, or things that are growing, going someplace. And that's what we want for you and for me this series, this year at Crossroads. Before I go any further, let's pray. God, we just love that you want our progress. And I know that I believe that. I also know that some folks who are in this room right now or who are watching this, listening to this, aren't so sure about that. And so my prayer today, Father, is that you would show up, that you would break through, that you would progress each and every single one of us from wherever we are to closer to feeling and sensing you and your goodness in our lives. Would you do that today? Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I like progress. Like, I want to get better in my life. I don't want to stay the same, you know. I hope when I die, whenever that happens, I'm better than I am right now. I want to make progress, which is why I love technology, because nothing in our world embodies progress more than technology, right? I mean, technology, oh, by the way, let me give you a definition. This series, we're talking about technology, so we're all talking the same thing. When we say technology, we mean tools that increase our power. That's technology, plain and simple. Tools that increase our power. And the promise of technology is pretty simple, right? It says, I am the power for progress. It says, where do you want to go? You want to get smarter, faster, farther? Technology says, I'm the answer. In fact, it says that progress, the key to progress, is increased power. Increased power. And I like technology. I like progress. And I especially love power. I love power, which is why I needed a new table saw a while ago, and I bought a 1986 Powermatic 66 table saw, baby. It was amazing. We bought this house, my wife and I, that needed some work, some renovations, and we discovered, due to our small bank account, that the way to make the most progress was for us to pretty much do all the work. And so I bought a table saw to help build stuff, to make progress on projects. And if you've never done any kind of woodworking or construction before, you don't know this, so I'm just tell you. The table saw is the heart of the workshop. Everything goes across it, okay? Now, I also have to say, some of you, when I talk about a table saw, you're like, oh yeah, I have a table saw. No, you don't have a table saw. That's not what I'm talking about. If you have one of these, that's not a table saw. That's a crafting toy. And it's very cute that you have it, and I'm happy for you. You can build crafts with it and whatnot. That's fine. This is a crafting toy. Just like this is not a dog. That is a barking cat. That's what that is. I would just like us to call things like they are. That's all. Isn't that too much to ask for? I didn't get one of those. I got a Powermatic 66, a 500-pound cast iron, 3-horsepower, 240-volt, wood-crushing beast. That's an undoctored photo, by the way. That's just what it looks like sitting in my garage. I love this thing. It crushes wood. Crushes wood. The medical term for that, as I'd find out later on, is macerate. Macerate. I discovered this about 4 weeks ago. I was cutting a dado, which is like a fancy way of saying a groove in a board. Usually when you use a table saw, you're separating a piece of wood into two. So there's an eighth-inch blade that kind of cuts and then separates. And then you got two boards. I was cutting a dado, and I had an inch-wide blade set up to cut a groove in this board so I could stick a shelf into it. And I just did what I always do with dados, which is I pushed the piece of wood across the blade over here. And when you cut a dado, you want the depth right. So you push it across, and then you kind of pull it back to make sure you get the full depth of cut. But this time, when I pulled it back, the second I started putting backward pressure on that board, the saw grabbed it. And when I say grab it, I mean it was like this, pop! And the board in both of my hands shot right across that blade. And the power of it shocked me. I knew all the stats, 500 horsepower, 240 volts, 3, all that stuff. I knew all that stuff, but the power shocked me. And the first thing I noticed was that my finger felt wet. And I looked, and where the end of this finger used to be was what looked like fresh ground beef and hanging skin, like somebody had peeled it like a banana and then just crushed it all up. It was disgusting. And in that moment, you just react instinctually. I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, and I ran out of the workshop, which is detached from our house, ran to the house. I get 3 steps outside the workshop, and I hear the saw behind me still on. I was like, oh crap, I gotta go back. So I run back, turn off the saw, I run to my house, there's a trail of blood just through the whole workshop. It's still there, I haven't cleaned it up yet. And run to my house, I open the door, I yell for my wife, I'm like, Sarah, I hurt myself on my saw, we gotta go to the hospital. And I run to the kitchen, I grab a dry paper towel, mistake, the dry part, crush it onto my finger, because I don't really know first aid, and I think you're supposed to squeeze it, I'm not sure. So I just start to squeeze it, try not to pass out. Sarah yells for our kids, who are upstairs, it's bedtime, so they're in their rooms. And she says, kids, get your shoes on, get downstairs, get in the van, we gotta go, daddy hurt himself. So they run downstairs, and they hop in the van, we speed off, Sarah's driving around, I'm just trying not to pass out. About 10 minutes into the drive, Sarah stops and she like looks in the back seat at our two boys, 6 and 8, and they're in nothing but their underwear and shoes. And I was like, wonderful obedience. However, she's like, oh no, we can't take you into the emergency room like that. I'm like, I bet we can. I'll just keep going. Yes, we can. We get to the hospital, you know, sign all the paperwork and stuff. I'm sitting in the chair. Feels like forever. Finally, the door opens and a nurse comes out. He's like bored out of his mind, got a clipboard. He's like, Kyle Ranson. I raise my hand, that's me. He's like, what happened? And I go, cut myself on a table saw. And immediately his demeanor changes. He's like, oh, this will be good. Cool, come with me. Nurse guy, that was not comforting. If you're watching this, don't do that. Not comforting. Spent the next 4 hours at the emergency room. Where they did all kinds of torture, I mean, helpful things to help my finger get better, like clean it out and inject it with numbing stuff and all kinds of stuff. At one point, a doctor is attempting to stitch it back together. And this is when I learned the word macerate. And she just stopped after about 10 minutes, and she's like, it just keeps falling apart when I put stitches in. I'm just going to stop. It's way too macerated. And I was like, what does that mean? Holy crap. Now, I know what you're thinking. You want to see a picture of my finger up close. Here it is! Look at that! Just kidding. I mean, that's basically what it looked like. I mean, it was disgusting. It was awful. So, when I finally get home, I can't sleep, you know, on account of not so skillfully sawing Freddy Krueger's face into my finger. And I'm just kind of laying there, and I'm like, trying to figure out what happened. How did this happen? At about 2 a.m., it hit me. I had made a completely avoidable mistake. And what happened was very, very, very simple. See, in a moment, my table saw had proven that its power vastly, vastly exceeded my wisdom in using it. And when power exceeds wisdom, destruction will happen. Not if, not maybe, will happen. When power exceeds wisdom, it is a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. Now, you may have never thought about those two in a relationship before and that gap, and you may be like, okay, whatever. Listen, you and I are hardwired to senses. It's actually, I think, one of the strongest senses that we possess. As an example, for instance, if you know me, you know that I love superhero movies. I'm a grown adult. I'm not afraid to admit that. I still like them. Let's talk about Thanos for a second, can we? Can we do that? Thanos from the Avengers Infinity War. Why is it such a problem that Thanos gets all the Infinity Stones or whatnot? Why do we care about that? We care because we, and Iron Man, and Captain America, and even Stupid Hulk, all know there's a big problem. The power of all those stones together vastly outpaces the wisdom of Thanos. Destruction will happen. Think about world leaders like North Korea, right? We're all scared of North Korea to some degree, and their leader. Why? Why are we so upset about this? Because in some level we sense the power outpaces the wisdom, and it freaks us the crap out. We know it's bad. Your boss. If you have a boss who you might not like. Now, I know that's not you, and that's never happened before, but imagine this happened. If you don't love your boss so much sometimes, it's probably because you sense that their power has outpaced their wisdom. Think about lottery winners, bunch of money, no wisdom, destruction. Think about child actors. I mean, I could go on and on, right? We see this and we sense this. Power outpaces wisdom. It's a big, big problem. Destruction results. Okay, so what about this little thing here? This little tiny box of power, you know? You have one, I have one. By the way, I don't know how you can put a man on the moon, but you can't make a phone screen that won't break if you drop it 3 feet. Oh, my flashlight's back on. There it goes. Sorry about that. What about this little tiny box of power? I mean, it's small, but it seems to be powerful in a lot of different ways. I mean, if you're curious how much, I'm going to enlighten you to a law. Now, you might know about the law of gravity that says, if I drop this, it will fall in, it will break. You might know about the law of gravity. You might know about the law of thermodynamics. Do you know about Moore's law? Anybody ever heard of Moore's law? Now, it's proposed in the 1960s by a guy named Gordon Moore, who founded a company called Intel. You've heard of Intel. They've greatly influenced and affected your life. And what Gordon Moore proposed, that's been widely adopted as a law, in layman's terms, is that the computational power of technology doubles every 18 to 24 months. And it has doubled every 18 to 24 months since 1956. It's 3 trillion times more powerful than back then. I did a little bit of digging to try to find out what's its current rate. And the best I could figure out was about 60% per year. Per year. So I was curious. I was just kind of wondering, like, in the last 5 years then, how much has this little thing increased in power? And if you do the math, 60% compounded for 5 years, a little bit of math because I like math just a little bit, if you do that math, you will discover that this has increased in power 1,048.5% in the last 5 years. It's like that, right? Exponential is what that's called. Now, if you want to have fun, ask your friends how much you've increased in wisdom in that same time. Do that. I did. I sent an email, and I said, hey, friends who know me and hopefully love me, by what percent would you say I have either increased or decreased in wisdom over the past 5 years? And they all sent me back answers. The lowest was like 25%. The highest was 700, which momentarily I was like, oh, yeah, man, I feel so honored. And then I was like, wait a minute. Do you think I'm so much smarter now, or was I just so stupid back then? Like, I don't. So I threw that one out. And then I came up with an average, which is I've increased in wisdom over the past 5 years, according to my friends, by a factor of 52.66%, which is, you know, nice. Not bad. Until you put it next to my stupid phone. And then I look like a friggin' idiot. It's terrible. Which, that gap. Let's be really clear. The gap between the power of this thing and my wisdom leaves me with a massive friggin' problem. That's what it leaves me with. Massive problem. Because in this gap, what do we say? Destruction always happens when power outpaces wisdom. Destruction happens. Now, you may be thinking I'm being overly dramatic. That's okay. I don't fault you for that. But here's the point. I don't think I'm alone in the wisdom department, in the power department. And my hunch is that maybe you, like me, maybe your wisdom hasn't kept pace with the power of the tool in your pocket. And maybe that is a problem for progress. Because, see, the opposite of progress is regression, destruction. Another word is maceration, you might say. Now, there's lots of research on technology and its effects. And like I said, there's been lots of amazing things that technology does. Technology can do amazing, amazing things. Also, though, it can cause some damage. Just Google effects of technology on humans or something and spend 10 minutes reading it. And you'll find some stuff like I did. Like, technology usage has been linked to things like anxiety, addiction, depression, feelings of isolation, impatience, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. And it's changing us. Not just in positive ways, but in some really negative ways. This is an article, a quote from an article by a guy named Simon Sinek. You might have heard of him. He's had some really popular TED Talks. The article is called, "How Do Cell Phones Impact Our Relationships?" He said this. He said, "We have a generation not of entitlement, but of systematic impatience. The problem is that we think satisfaction in life, fulfillment, love, and friendship, which are like the things we're trying to make progress towards, right? We think those things happen just as immediately as Netflix. And they don't. It takes work. And we're not learning the skills to be human, like how to love, how to interact, how to engage, because it's slow and boring and hard work. The power outpacing our wisdom has caused some destruction. Can we just admit that a little bit? There's a guy, I'm going to show you this video clip, another expert in the tech world. He used to work for Google building technologies. And at some point, he got very dissatisfied with the effects of his work on people, and he decided rather than build technology, he would educate about technology, about both the potential and the destructive dangers. He started a nonprofit to help people out of technology addiction. This is him on the BBC just recently.
It's much bigger than addiction. I would actually call it an existential threat to the human race. And the reason is because there's 2 billion people who use a smartphone every day. 2 billion people use Facebook. That's more than the number of followers of Christianity. Arguably, these tech companies have more influence over our daily thoughts than, in some cases, some of the world's religions.
Isn't that crazy? That's nuts, right? Like, world religions have been around for thousands upon thousands of years. This was invented about a decade ago. More impact than major world religions. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The power of this thing has outpaced our wisdom, which means you and I are in a precarious position. Precarious position. Now, if you recognize the power in the thing, one of the good questions to ask, you'd be like, what kind of power does this thing have? It would have been helpful for me to understand that my table saw had the power of maceration, for instance. Didn't know that. Now I do. Painfully. So I've asked this question. Like, what kind of power does this thing hold? I mean, computational power is abstract, but like, what's the effect of this thing on my life? And one of the things that I've discovered is that the core power in my life is it's a transportation device. You know, like, you can't, it doesn't take you anywhere. I'm not actually putting my weight on it, by the way. That would crush it. Just so you know, if you're uncomfortable. It doesn't actually take me anywhere physically, but it takes me away further and faster from people I care about, places I am, faster than any plane or car or anything ever could. It's a transportation device. And in some times in my life, that's really a positive thing. I'm part of a guys group, just a group of guys. We meet together every Thursday night and drink beers and talk about life and make jokes and stuff. And we also have a text thread. And I would say, like, I don't know, 80% of our interaction is probably on a text thread. And now most of that is just, like, making fun of each other and telling jokes and stuff. But there's also some meaningful interaction in there. We share prayer requests. We talk about, hey, I'm about to have this important meeting. Can you guys just pray for me real quick? Or, hey, I'm not sure about this. And it's an amazing transportation device because before this thing existed, I couldn't connect with my friends like I could. And that's really positive. But on the negative side, I've also discovered this thing takes me away from some of the people I care about most. And I know this might sound like a cliche story, but it's real. It's happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe people are saying the same language to you. I probably 6 weeks ago, in preparing for this message, and let me just say too, with this topic, you know, sometimes I get to speak at crossroads on a topic, and I'm like, all right, I like this topic. I feel like I got it kind of handled, and I'm excited to share about it from like expert position. This one is a little bit different. When I was preparing for it, it felt more like a splash of cold water. Like God was going, Kyle, wake up, wake up. This thing is doing great things in your life, and it's also causing pain and destruction. You need to wake up to its power. You need to wake up to its power. You need to seek to increase your wisdom. And one of those moments where that became loud and clear to me was when I came home 6 weeks ago or so from work. It had been a bad day or whatever. And so I just got home. I was tired, sitting on the couch. My kids are around. They're wanting to, like, read me a book and play with me and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, I just need to check out for a second. So I pull my phone out. And I go to ESPN.com or, you know, whatever, and just start doing stuff, and I'm on here, and my kids are next to me. I have three kids, and they're going, Daddy, 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 Daddy! Heard none of it, none of it. Until one of them said, Daddy, we want you to be with us. And I went, be with us? I am with... Oh, I'm not with you. And I realized in that moment that when I am on this and my kids are right next to me and they're trying to get to interact with me, they don't understand, oh, well, you know, Daddy had a hard day and he just needs a quick break. They don't get that. And they don't get, oh, you know, I'll bet there's some important world news happening that Daddy just needed to keep tabs on in case it would directly affect our family tonight, you know. They don't get that. They don't. And they don't get, you know, I bet Daddy just needed to check on work really quick because, you know, he pays for, like, our food and our clothes and our mortgage and such. I bet he's just, we're so thankful for hardworking Daddy. No. What they understand is Daddy doesn't want to be with us right now. Daddy would rather be somewhere else. Daddy would rather be just about anywhere else. It's painful. I had to talk to him about that. And go, I'm sorry, kids, you're right. I'm really sorry. And I have to make some changes. It was causing pain. When power outpaces wisdom, pain is the result. You know, often as humanity, when it relates to progress, this is why technology, I think, is so tempting to us, wanting to make progress in our lives, because we think progress will happen when I get more power. And so we go after power. You know, that's all the sales hooks for this thing, right? It's faster and it's better and more processing speed and it's got 42.9 nano whatevers. And we're all like, I don't know what that means, but that sounds like more than last year. I'll take one. You know, when my wife and I got a new phone plan recently, we go in, and the two options for the phone plan in the AT&T store were unlimited or unlimited plus. Like, do you know what unlimited means? By the way, we'll definitely take the plus version. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We think it comes from increased power. It doesn't. It doesn't. It comes from increased wisdom. Increased wisdom. God says, if you want to make progress, seek to increase your wisdom. Don't worry about power, go after wisdom. This is a piece of ancient wisdom from Proverbs 4. It says this very, very clearly. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Wisdom is the principal thing, not power. Wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. That's progress. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Go after wisdom. But we don't tend to do that. We tend to go after power. And it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing at all. Now, I just tell you, if you haven't read the Bible, I've read the Bible. There are no stories of cell phones in the whole Bible. Super weird. I know. Super weird. This tiny box of power does not show up. But a bigger box of power does. There's a super weird story about this magical box of power called the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible. You may have seen it in Indiana Jones. It looks like this. It's a magical box of power. It really was. Like, it was like this weapon. It was filled with special stuff from Israel's history, and they would carry it into battle, and its power would help them win victories. Like, legitimately, it carried God's power. It's crazy. There's a story I don't want to share with you. It's from 1 Chronicles 12 through 15. I'm not going to read the thing. I'm going to summarize it for you because it's so long. But if you want to go back and read it yourself, 1 Chronicles 12 through 15. And it's a story of King David. You may have heard of him. He's one of the most important people in Israel's history. And the story picks up before he's king. He's trying to progress to the point where he is king. He's amassing power. Literally, an army is assembling to him. 340,822 warriors come to him. Which he's like pretty pumped about, you know? I mean, you would be. And he's so excited, he throws a three-day party to celebrate. That three-day party, and then this scene happens. At the end of the party, I mean, he's had a few beers, and he's kicked back with his generals. And there's a scene where he goes, "Hey guys, I was just kind of spitballing here, but what do you guys think if we went and got that magic box of power and used it to fight the bad guys? You think that's a good idea, like get even more power?" And the generals are all like, "Yeah, man, that's a great idea, of course. Let's get the box of power." He's like, "All right, cool." So they head off, get the box of power. And they just go get it. They like get some poles and they pick it up and they put it on a cart, and the cart's pulled by two ox. And David has two guys on either side, just kind of watch it, you know, it's bumpy roads and whatnot. And they hit this moment where the ox stumbles, the cart tilts, and the box starts to slide off. It's an important box. So of course the guy over here puts his hands out to stop it. But the second he touches it, he's struck down dead. The power of it's shocking. They didn't even imagine. I mean, no, it was powerful, but the power still shocked them. Guy drops dead. Now, what happens next is really interesting, and I'll tell you what David does. But first, I want to tell you what he doesn't do. Now, think about the moment. He is a person who's wanting to conquer armies. He just went to get a weapon. The weapon just proved it works, right? It works. Like, holy crap, that thing works. I just struck that guy dead as soon as he touches it. Man, now we definitely want to use this. Good thing we got 340,000 guys. Just get somebody else up here. Let's keep trucking. We're definitely taking this thing. Take it back to the base. Come on, guys. No, he doesn't do that. But that would make sense. He doesn't do that. Instead, David does something I think you and I can learn a lot from. This 3,000-year-old story. What we do with our boxes of power. David, this is totally true. David goes, That's more power than I understand. And so he literally, rather than take it to his house, he literally drops it at his buddy's house, which I can't even imagine how that conversation goes. You know, like, "Hey, man, can you mind just, like, put this in your garage or something or whatever?" But he intentionally drops it off, and he limits his power. He puts distance between himself and the thing that outpaces his wisdom. He goes over there. And then the next chapter is also really interesting because you kind of see a different David. Rather than going after power, he starts to go after God's wisdom. It starts with a battle that's coming up, and he asks God, "Should I fight or not?" God tells him, "Yes, fight the battle." David does. He obeys God's wisdom, and he wins. And then there's the next battle. And in that battle, it's not just a should I or shouldn't I, but God gives him specific battle plans, like, "Hey, go around this way and attack him from the mulberry trees." That's literally what it says. Attack him this way. David follows, seeks God's wisdom more than power. And he wins again. And he changes. Power and wisdom starts to go up. And so after about 3 months of this, David goes back to get the box of power. This is important. He doesn't leave it. He doesn't go, "I'm going to become Amish. No more power for me. I'm going to go over here." Doesn't do that. He does. He increases his wisdom to where he can handle the power, and then he goes and he gets it. And he uses it. Only this time he does it according to God's wisdom. He follows the plans that God says about how to handle the box. He has very specific instruction. David follows it, and he takes the box of power back to his city. Now, that ancient story, I know it's weird, but again, I think there's two simple 10-second lessons in there for us that could change our lives today, like literally today. I've been trying to do these. The first one is what to do when power outpaces your wisdom. One is put some distance between you and the powerful thing. For me, with my phone, what I've been doing is I just recognize it's here and I'm here, and so in humility, I come home now and I stick it in a different room when I get home. I intentionally take it out of my pocket and I put it far away from me, typically in my kitchen, on a windowsill, somewhere that's like even hard to reach. And I just go, "That's going to go over there, and I'm going to go over here right now." And it's helped. It's actually helped. I'm not distracted by it. It's way over there. It buzzes and I don't even know. And you know what? The world's okay. Amazingly. It's cool without me for like 10 minutes. It's fine. Put a little bit of distance. Now, the other thing is David also seeks to increase his wisdom. And what he does is he starts talking to God. It's crazy. I don't know if you've ever thought about talking to God as it relates to your technology, but that's what David does. He talks to God about it. And that's what I've been trying to do. One of my knee-jerk reactions for years has been in my commute home, I just pull a podcast up on this thing and plug it in and listen to it. It's like my commute's about 30 minutes, kind of like brainless time, just to do whatever. But lately I've been asking God, say, hey God, I have like 30 minutes. What do you want me to do? And I just try to do like whatever I sense he wants me to do. There's no audible voice or anything, but just kind of sense like, yeah, a podcast or not. And sometimes it's a podcast. And there's like, again, there's valuable, incredible stuff. Technology can help us connect to God and others even more. So I listen to a Crossroads podcast, IKR. If you don't know what IKR is, season 2 just released. It's amazing. You should listen to IKR. And it'll connect me and it'll move me. Other times, God will say, hey, no technology right now. I just want you to think about your family. You're going to go home to these important people who mean so much to you. I want you to think about them before you get to them. And so in those 30 minutes, I'll think about my wife and my kids, and I'll think like, gosh, I wonder how Benjamin's day was. I know he's having problems figuring out math. He's just bored with it. Maybe I'll ask him about that and try to encourage him. And I wonder what day Eli had. Eli loves sports. I'll play soccer with him when I get home. He would love that, you know? Or I'll think about my wife, and I'll think, I wonder if her day was good or bad. I should remember to ask her and actually engage with her. That'd be great. And when I do that, what I'm seeing is I'm making more progress in the most important relationships in my life. My family's getting better. It's slow, but it's happening. Slowly, I'm increasing in wisdom. And here's the thing. Go back to what I said, the punchline in the beginning. I don't know what your perceptions of God are walking in here. It majorly bums me out that a lot of stuck in the status quo, obsessed with staying where you are, boring people have misconstrued God into this status quo obsessed, boring God. He's not. He is wildly pro your progress. That's incredible news. He wants you to get better. Wherever feels stuck in your life, he wants you to push you farther to better places. If you want to understand anything about the Bible, the most helpful thing is to look for through lines that run through the whole thing. And this idea of progress is one of the most massive ones, from the beginning to literally the very end. In the very beginning, there's these people called Adam and Eve. They show up on the scene, and God says, hey, the earth, here's what I want you to do. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue it, make it better. Progress, make it better. There's a famous guy named Abraham. You may have heard of him. God says, hey, Abraham, I want you to leave the country where you are because I'm taking you to a better place. There's something called the Promised Land. We're going there. A guy named Moses you may have heard of. He says, hey, Moses, I'm not happy with my people being stuck in slavery in Egypt. I want you to move them out of slavery to the Promised Land. Go to a better place. Joshua is another name. You may have heard of him. God says the same thing. Joshua, go to the better place. God's constantly thinking of better places for your life. That's his dream and his hope for you. And then there's Jesus. There's Jesus. You know, maybe you've heard the name Jesus. Maybe you walked in here with no spiritual whatever, but you've heard that name. I don't know what you think about him, but I'll tell you this. Jesus is proof that God is wildly pro your progress. He'll pay any price for your progress. He sent his only son, Jesus, to literally die, to be macerated for you, for your progress. So you don't have to stay stuck in your sin, stuck in the habits that are killing you, stuck in isolation. He sent him so that you could have redemption and fullness of life with him. It's incredible. God is pro your progress. Pro your progress. You know, in this series, it's not a doomsday series. It's a hopeful series. We're going to be talking in future weeks about the ways that you can engage in technology to help you connect to God faster and further and each other faster and further. It's amazing. It's hopeful. But I want to be really clear from the beginning. The source of progress in your life must start and end with God. It is in his wisdom that he gives you power for your progress. One of my favorite prayers in the whole Bible is Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. It says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's progress. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and get this, his incomparably great power. Incomparably, like more than your cell phone. Incomparably great power for us who believe. God is wildly pro your progress. wildly pour your progress. But progress starts and ends with God as the source of power and wisdom in your life. Now, you may have walked in here with a place in your life that you're like, you saw that word progress up there, and you're like, oh, good, I could use some progress. I want you to think about that place in your life right now. Just kind of pull it from the back of your brain to the front of your brain right now. Maybe it's a career that feels stalled out. Maybe it's a marriage that has just flatlined. Maybe it's a friendship that broke. Maybe you're just newly back to college and you showed up again and you realize you still haven't made good friends. How would you ever make progress in this? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's feeling distant from God, like everybody else seems to feel him and connect to him, but me, I don't know how to bridge this gap. Whatever that thing is, you want progress. Bring it to the front of your mind right now, and I want to pray for it for you, okay? Father, I bless you that you are a God of progress. I've seen you take me from way, way far away to closer to you. I've seen you make progress in my life, and as a parent, as a husband, as a friend, Father, I've seen you make incredible progress in thousands and thousands of people, and I ask for everybody here, for that thing that's in their mind, that you would grip it, that you would inject your power and your presence into it right now, that you would bring wisdom about how to act and how to proceed, and that you would cause each and every one of us in this room, watching online, wherever we are, Father, that we would ask for your wisdom, that you would deliver it to us and how to behave and how to act with this stuff. I also pray that you would redeem technology in our lives, that it would become a tool that we can go, this thing connects me to God. We could harness that power, Father. Bless you for being pro our progress. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, thank you for being here today. We're going to continue this series next week. I'm super, super excited about next week, by the way. A guy you may have heard of before named Brian Tome will be back, so we'll see if he's still got it. And then he's also going to be joined by one of the nation's leading experts on how to use technology positively. So have a fantastic week. Thanks for being with us.